Season 4, episode 42. We also call this summer school because we're still podcasting, but regular everyday school is shut down for the summer. So here we are, second week of summer school. And I don't even know where to start. I will tell you though, I'm still feeling pretty tired from the school year. Like I'm still feeling like a little on edge. I'm not sure what to do with myself every day, which is weird because there's a lot to do. But I just feel that I'm living in a void right now in terms of trying to put together the experience I had this school year with the fact that now I can rest a little bit. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I think that I am, I think that I'm constantly trying to sort of find that difference. And see, it's funny, you know, like you, I think in a lot of ways, and this was from conversations popping up on socials. There's a high level of disillusionment in the transition between end of school and start of summer. The past year and change has kind of bounced us out of the standard notification system that we've been a part of, which is, you know, when the bells ring, we're on, bell ring, we're off. And the end of the school year, there were a few people posting up on socials. I turned off the Zoom and just kind of sat there. Like there wasn't any sort of fanfare. Like there wasn't a grand closure. This is the moment that reminds me that I'm in a place and time that's significant. I often, when I work with grade nines, part of the getting to know you phase, getting to know each other phase of September is I try to load up a conversation around at what point in the last year did you notice that you noticed the reality that you're not going back to your elementary school? So was there a moment when you sort of acknowledged, oh, wow, I'm not going back. I'm not going to be at that school in September. It's the meta step sideways out of the between the bells thinking, because the between the bells is not only about the bell that, like, we often think of the bell as like the 9 to 3, like the stuff that happens between the 9 to 3. You're now in the 3 to 9 part. It's like it's the twilight side, twilight zone side of between the bells. So the bell that ends the day and the bell that starts the day is a significant between the bells chunk. And, you know, we as educators, you and I as compassionate, participants in education, as dads, as husbands, as men, we've talked a little bit about what happens the between the bells and how we work away from school to sort of make school better, make ourselves better. But that I'm focusing now on the between the bells that's in that twilight space. It's not the actual between the bells that we've come to feel as the standard. It's the between the bells from the end of the day back to the start of the day again. And I felt like some of the posting in social media, people were getting really hung up on that they couldn't tell the difference. They couldn't tell the difference between being on or off. They couldn't tell the difference between in or out, couldn't tell the difference between teaching and not teaching. Like, it was just this weird kind of diffusive moment at the end. Like, they just turned off their computer and went upstairs to the kitchen and made a sandwich. And not that that's necessarily a negative thing, but what I observed is that people wanted it to feel significant. They craved something that closed and commemorated the work that we had done. And I was part of that group. I was part of that group where I didn't really have significant closure on the year. And I think because of that, I don't have I don't have a clear connection with how I should feel right now. Like I really have felt like I've walked away from a school year undone. Like there's just things that just didn't see. I'm pretty sure I finished the school year. I think I handed everything in. You know, I think I checked all the stuff on my checklist, but I'm really not sure. And I do have, I'm still sort of taking care of some paperwork and scanning some stuff. I'm still doing the homework, the cleanup of the bag of work. That's the thing. I finally got to the bottom of the bag of work and didn't find any satisfaction. I don't have a sense of completion. I can't clearly say, here's what this year was, so that I can then say, here's what I want next year to be. I have a whole lot of, it just feels like there's sort of a disconnect there. So as far as feeling the fatigue, I can't say specifically if I'm tired just because I'm staying up late or if I'm actually tired and I attribute it to my efforts in this past school year. It's not that clear for me. It's not that clear for me at all.
I think some of what you just said is exactly what I've been feeling. I feel no sense of satisfaction. I feel like in years past, the end of school, there was a clear mark between the end of school and the start of summer. Mm-hmm. And my brain felt it and my body felt it. But now I don't feel that now. I feel like the end of the school year is done in terms of like having to wake up at a certain time and be online at a certain time and report certain things and hand certain things in and call certain parents. That stuff is over. But that hard line before doesn't seem to be there for me right now. And I'm only now starting to feel the effects of me not returning to a regular classroom in September. I'm only now starting to feel like, oh, and because people are asking questions, because now I'm talking more with people, right? Because we don't have school in the middle of the day anymore, so you can talk to people. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday and he was like, so, you know, how are you feeling about it? And I'm like, well, I haven't really thought about it. And he's like, you're not going to have to set up a classroom in August. I said, yeah, you're right. And then I feel that it's funny. I feel that like relief of the stress that comes like 2 weeks before school starts, we're allowed back into our buildings. And I'm basically in school most every day for those 2 weeks. You know, looking at the room, thinking about the room, setting up the room, thinking about the activities I want to start with to get to know my learners and get them kind of figuring me out. Like, it's going to be different this year that way. But there's no satisfaction because I don't know what the startup looks like for me. So if I was entering into, because my position is so new and I'm going to have a new boss who's new to the board. There's a lot of new, so nobody really knows what it looks like. And because nobody knows what it looks like, there's no room for me to feel like I'm headed in a particular direction. So school ends for me, and it feels really weird because of the way it ended. But I'm also in professional limbo because there is no clear path for me starting in September. Now here's the other thing too. The 30-year-old Roland would be upset about this. It would cause anxiety and something. The 40-year-old Roland is like, whatever. I'm like, I understand that there's no clear path, so I'm not going to spend my summer worrying about that or trying to build a path yet. I respect and understand that I'm going to be part of a team and that probably everybody on the team feels the same way as I do. But until September, it's not on me to figure anything out. So I'm good with that. And when I spoke to my new teaching partner, so there's another teacher that was hired for the same position. There's two of us. And when I spoke to her, I got the vibe that we were both on the same page with being okay with not understanding what's going to come our way. And then being okay with, like, we made a pact. Like I said to her, I said, Because we both want to get to work. Like, we both want to try to figure out what our role is. But I said to her, we're missing some major pieces of the puzzle here. I said, yeah, you and I are the ones on the ground in the trenches, but our new supervisor, who's an SO, is new to being an SO and new to the board. So she probably doesn't really have a handle on what her job looks like and then how it connects to our job. And I said, and we're going to have a social worker on our team, and we think that they're hiring this person. So that means this person's going to be new and not going to understand or know. So I said to her, between all of that, there's no point in you and I trying to actually do hardcore planning. There's no point. Like, our boss won't know about it. The other members of our team won't know about it. Like, it's not. I said to her, at the very least, I think what both of us have right now is like a framework of ideas based on our interview for the position, based on reading the job description, based on talking to each other. We have like, we have a toolbox because we're both experienced teachers. So I said, let's just be aware of the tools in our box and the ones that we like to go to and the ones that we don't. And then let's be prepared to use the tools as we learn about what this job really is. I said, that's the only homework I'm going to do. I'm not going to start doing this and that because I have no, I don't, first of all, it's my summer. So I'm going to do my best to enjoy it and relax from work and reflect. I also want to do other things with my summer. Like the first week of my summer was the esports coaching certification, which was awesome. So I put all my mind and time and energy into that. It was fantastic.
Did you mention the job that you're going into?
We talked about it last. Oh, where?
Yeah, just right now. This the thing that you're stepping into.
Talked about it last week. So right. If our listeners are listening, then they know that last week I talked about the new job that I'm going to have. But I will entertain you, Christopher, and my new job title is re-engagement teacher. And my job, or what I think my job is to work with students and schools and staff from grade 7 to 12. And the focus is going to be the students that walked away from school because of the pandemic, because of remote learning. It wasn't working for them for whatever reason, and they walked away from school. And so my job and my partner's job is to find ways to re-engage these students. So it certainly is going to be a different experience, one that is very exciting for me because I'm not a big fan of teaching grade 7 and 8 students. It's not, I don't feel that's where my gifts are. But in this role, I get to be more of a counselor. And I'm really looking forward to counseling those students and working at the senior level in terms of like making connections with people. Like, I'm really excited about making connections with new staff members I've never met before, visiting the high schools, which I never get to spend any time at. I'm really excited about that. So I'm really stepping out of my comfort zone of teaching primary students how to read, right? And how to do all the cool things, how to learn how to read and all the basic numeracy stuff. And now I'm jumping into the other end of the educational spectrum, 7 to 12, and really trying to connect with students, build relationships, and find ways to have them re-engage in school. And, you know, like, I just finished my esports coaching certificate, and well, I won't be running an esports team this coming year, but I sure plan on leaning on gaming and counseling and coaching when I'm working with some of these students who may be interested in those things. I don't know, but it's a tool in my box, right? So I'm aware of that. So yeah, I'm leaving something that ended really weird. Mm-hmm. I'm starting something that's nebulous. So you can imagine between, I don't have a hard end date and I don't have a hard start date. So I'm like just in limbo. And I'm guess I'm working on feeling okay with that. The 40-year-old Roland is doing a much better job of being okay with that than the 30-year-old Roland would have done. But that's because a lot happens over those 10 years. A lot happens between the 30s and the 40s, or at least for me it has.
Yeah. That's the, is that the dad stuff?
Oh man, it's dad stuff. I have to credit my family. You know, I have to credit my family with learning how to be more easygoing. I don't know if they would agree with me saying me being more easygoing, but I definitely have had to shift mindset. And I have to say, you know, I've been worn down by life in general. Like when I was talking to my buddy yesterday, he's a teacher. He's been teaching for 28 years. Huh. And, you know, he was telling me about his teaching partner. His teaching partner is much younger and much newer to the profession. And he was saying that the teaching partner just on fire. Like there's no pause button, no stop button, just go, 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 go. And he's like, you know, he was talking to me a little bit about his feelings around that and feeling like maybe he's not as effective as he used to be. And I was like, I stopped him right away. I said, stop right there. He's like, what? I said, I worked with you for 2 years. You and I partnered up on a couple of things in those 2 years. You're an intense teacher. You care deeply about the kids and you're very innovative. I would watch you do things and I would hear you talk to the kids and talk to me about what you wanted to do and what you were doing. And I felt ineffective. So I'm telling you that you're not ineffective. You're quite effective. You're just comparing yourself to somebody who right now is at a point in their career where they can go, 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 go. Many of us have been there. I was there before I had kids. And in fact, I joked that when I had my first child, I couldn't go, 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 go anymore because now I had to consider my partner and I had to consider my new child. And so it slowed me down in a way. And now I'm at a point where I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I step up when I need to step up. But it's a lot harder to step up now, being an older person. Like, I know people say, it doesn't matter how old you are. Well, life does certain things to people. So when I go 100%, the recovery time takes a little bit longer.
Right. And this is also not saying that you, we talked a little bit about the can't, won't, doesn't, kind of like three-way. This isn't that you won't or that you don't, but the reality is that you can't for a lot of reasons, right? You can't. The commitments for you now are more complex. And I would say I connect with you on that. The commitments for me now is that I now have the gift of realizing that there actually is only 24 hours in the day. And that's on one hand, you know, I get it that days don't stop just because I want to go to bed. I get that. So where I choose to refresh and recycle and kind of reboot myself isn't where other people are. So, but I am in a space of thinking can't sometimes. There's things I can't do because my kids have an event or I'm actually so sore that I do need to rest my body or my brain is fried. And the gift is that I actually realize that my brain is fried. It doesn't shift to like the backup systems, which the backup systems are actually in case of emergency, not because I just want to keep driving blindly ahead of time, like ahead, right? That's what comes with, you know, you get your 10, that's the difference maker between, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years of service in education. It's the awareness. And it's not that one's right or wrong. Because there is a bit of it, there is a bit of a zero sum there. Like I could, when I was in my first 5 years, I could coach a ton of things, stay late at school, and still I was able to maintain the relationships that I had. I can't do that now because relationships are far more complex. The expectations of my participation in those relationships is far more complex. And when I say the relationships, I mean my family, I mean my friends. So I bend to that will. I bend. If education is all about relationships, well, so is life. Right? So is life. So I had similar when I had the student teachers working with me. I had a lot of moments where I was thinking, yeah, like I remember when I remember that energy. I remember that moment of thinking. And often when I was talking to the student teachers, I tried to draw a line by sharing life stories from where that energy helped me, where it hindered me, and where the spot where it confused me. I didn't know what to do with it, right? And it's really cool to notice that you aren't the same person. There's something cool about that. Whatever you find on the other side, everyone has a different self-assessment, but it's cool to sort of be able to say that, because that's growth in some way. I can't stay at the school until 7 p.m. save for a couple occasions, like a grad and, you know, parent-teacher night. Let's see what happens in September. But those are sort of, you know, coaching sports. Those are sort of like the events that I could when I was in my first 5 to 10 years of teaching. Probably five, closer to five. Because it was in my 5 to 10 that I started to build more of a family, more connections at home. So that's cool. I like this space.
Yeah, you would. Like, this is a space that I'd be like, yeah, Chris Clough's gonna like this space. There's lots of room for discovery. And you know what? I have been because of the weird ending.
Yeah.
And the weird starting. There's only the middle. And so I'm looking for the great things each day. And it's awesome. Like, that's cool. And I'm really enjoying the little moments each day. Like talking to you today, you know, this is the first moment type of thing where it's like, okay, I got the podcast. It's going to be good stuff. Get to connect with Chris. And then there's other things happening today that I'm looking forward to. But, you know, let's talk about, you and I are supposed to meet up next Friday to do like a food experience again.
The Decoded Crawl.
The Decoded Food Crawl. And you're going to be coming up to my neck of the woods. Uh-huh. And I have to tell you, I'm really excited about how prepared we are with...
we're like teachery. We're coming out of teachery. We're
prepared with, like... Because we can't eat in a restaurant right now, which is fine with me. Like, I don't need to eat in a restaurant. But when we've done these before, well, actually, not true. When I was in Newmarket last year at this time, we didn't eat in any restaurants. We got our stuff and we went outside. And fortunately, I believe all the places we went to, there was a place for us to park ourselves outside and eat. But this time around, you know, we've talked about having lawn chairs and a table so we could literally pull over anywhere we want, crack open the table, get the lawn chairs and actually sit and eat, which I don't know why that we didn't consider that before.
I don't know.
Hip deep in COVID still. So it's like, it's kind of cool that we can literally pull over.
Tailgate. It's the decoded tailgate.
Decoded tailgate. So my plan is to fully record our session and to turn it into some kind of video of our experience. But like, dude, I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. It's a week away and I'm kind of setting myself up for that amusement on a couple of different levels. But it's these things that I'm really looking forward to. I'm even looking forward to things that I normally wouldn't be looking forward to. Like, my wife and I want to buy a fire table for our deck, our backyard. Cool. And normally that's a pain in the rear end, but now it's not. It's like, okay.
We did that. We love it.
Yeah, we're going to have fire tables. And we've had one before. We didn't like it. We got rid of it. But now we want one again. And even that is like, I'm looking forward to that, which is really weird. So there's certainly room in the middle. I'm going to take the time to enjoy the middle more than I ever have before because of the where I find myself right now.
It's interesting, enjoying the middle.
Enjoying the middle, yeah.
I like that turn of phrase.
And speaking of the middle, I know you're a big fan of family-run, homemade cooking-type restaurants. Did you see, I don't know if you saw, but on Facebook, I tagged you in a post. I don't know if you got it or not, because it's weird, because I belong to a food group, and somebody posted up about this new Filipino restaurant that's owned by a small family, and the mom's in the back cooking the orders from scratch.
So throw that through a little bit, because I feel like this was the when we jumped into this, I think what was interesting about this was how, you know, us going looking for food together, and other people have commented like, this is so cool. Like, I totally want to do a food crawl. There's not much new in this, right? Like, you and I have followed different foodies, like from the Food Network, independent YouTube. I think this all kind of started back in the day just with you sending me a notification about this great sandwich that exists at Pepe's. Like, I think that was part of the starting point. We're like, dude, we're going. Let's go get that sandwich. And then you're like, damn, we could totally go get that sandwich. So we did. That was the beginning 2 years ago, whatever. But I had also the sense that just to a degree, you didn't know exactly how deep my agenda was in kind of when I try go looking for food, because I remember the one conversation we had where you're like, okay, well, what are you sort of looking for? And I sent you, I think when I was coming to your side, I said, okay, I sent you some choices, and you're like, damn, like what's going on here? Like, these are there seems to be a system going on here. I'm like, okay, I have the three rules, right? I want the family in the kitchen. I don't want it to be a franchise, and I need for it to be I want it to be sort of honoring whatever the home culture is of the family that's in the kitchen. So for example, I get it. Anybody can sort of sell Chinese food, but I do want to have a family sort of, I want to have alignment between the type of food that's being sold, the independence being owned by the family, and that the family is of the sort of cultural background of the food. Because I feel like that was my training as a chef. The family that I trained up in, like, I was the Polish, Irish, Polish dude in the kitchen. Everyone else was Italian. The restaurant was Italian. It was a family-owned restaurant. It had been there for 25 years when I came on board, so it was deep in the community. And I felt the drive from the inside to really respect and honor the lessons that I was being taught about cooking this food. I never had a chance to look away and say, well, why can't we just do it this way? Because as soon as I said that, I was colonizing their food. And I wouldn't have been able to say that back in the day, but that's what I was doing. I was colonizing their food. I was like, well, and often I think at some point I've been in the conversations with other sort of chefs and people that have worked in hospitality. And you often hear the conversation, you used to hear this a lot about food fusion. And there was something really kind of exciting about that at some period in our culinary storyline. The idea that you could sort of do burritos, but with rice paper, and then we're going to use Filipino ingredients in it. So you're kind of grabbing from three different cultures. And at the time, I just got kind of tired of it. I actually didn't appreciate it. I didn't like it because I felt like it didn't represent the discipline of preparing the food. Like, you could take shortcuts and just call it a thing. And I come from this that what I had learned in my process of culinary growth is that there are laws. For example, there was at one point a law within Bologna in Italy that if you're making a bolognese sauce, which, to dress it down, is a meat sauce, can be a meat sauce. There's actually laws that you have to make it a certain way. And if you don't make it that way, you get fined if you are going to call it a bolognese sauce. And there's other foods that have this type of, I'm dropping the name, but there's a name of a group or an organization. Is the UNESCO, is it the United Nations? But it's basically, it's where they will accredit a very specific cultural item, could be food, could be dance, could be music, as like the, as a key cultural icon for that ethnicity. And I think there's foods and songs that have been attributed to this. And it just raises the status that, like, if you are looking for this thing, it's not as simple as bolognese sauce. But if you are going to call it this, it has to be this. Otherwise, you are really appropriating and doing the wrong thing. Oh, I forget it. Have you heard of this before? And it's in there are certain things that have been included on the list. I want to say UNESCO, but I'm not even, I might be making up a bunch of letters.
Not UNESCO, but I know that. From watching food shows, I know that in Italy, there are certain places where pizza is made a certain way. And it,
yeah.
And there are organizations and affiliations that are like, if you don't do it like that, then you don't get to call it that kind of pizza.
Yeah. It's the same thing. I think balsamic vinegar, if it could typically originally came from Modena, and there's a very specific way that balsamic vinegar should be made. There's also shortcuts. So it has, you know what? It's kind of related as far as food goes. Sometimes you'll see the DOC, D-O-C, and that basically translates to, I'm going really basic on this, but it's made under the exact same conditions that it's always been made, with the ingredients, with the recipe, and it's a assurance of quality. And I think D-O-C or D-O-K, wine has this as well, I believe. So this is how I learned about making food. This is how I started to develop rules about making food. So when I come across fusion, I'm like, I think you're taking a shortcut here. I do have an exception to that. If you are, let's say, of, you know, you small town in Mexico, you buy a shop somewhere, you start to produce that food based on that small shop in Mexico or that small town in Mexico, and you are sort of sharing your culture in that way, and you're saying, this is how it is. And then you decide to sort of switch it up a bit. I take that as slightly different. But what I was seeing in the food fusion is some white dude deciding that he wants to make burritos with Filipino ingredients and rice paper wrappers. Now, that's not to say the food couldn't be delicious. But there was something in me that's like, but which one are you honoring here? Like, is it none of the above? Can it actually be all of the above? And I get the whole, can't we all get along? Like, it's kind of cool to kind of mix these things up. But this was something that I wondered. And part of that was my training in the, like, when I, so the restaurant that I trained in was in primarily a Abruzzese or Abruzzo cuisine. So that's kind of centrally located in the boot in Italy. So they had the opportunity to sort of take from different spaces in Italy to develop their cuisine. But I would often hit spaces where Maria, who was my, there was Johnny, who I was signed up for the apprenticeship, but it was Maria who was my teacher. No, that's not how we do it. And I would just say, okay. I didn't really, that's all I needed. Okay. Cause what I heard in that, it was funny. I liked it when she said that because I thought, oh, she's including me in the we. And I know that I wasn't, because I was the X factor in the crew, right? I was in the kitchen. It's different if you're a server, but I was in the kitchen. I saw the secrets. I saw the recipes. I saw what they were doing. And that was a privileged place to be, because I was being included in the family for no other reason. I was an employee that they had to include in the family. And also the first apprentice that Johnny, the son of his dad being the owner, I was the first apprentice that he ever had. I think I might have been the only apprentice. I think he had one after, but it didn't finish. I don't know. I'd have to reach out to Johnny to figure that one out. But funny, that was what was happening in that background. As soon as you said you wanted, you know, let's do this as a food crawl. I want the family in the kitchen. I want it to be representative of their culture, their ethnicity. And I don't want it to be a franchise. And where we landed on this, which was really cool, remember, we tried to get food from the Mexican food restaurant, and we waited too long. Like, it was Friday night, and we went there, and they closed at 8 p.m. And it's easy to kind of go, come on. But then you realize, if this is family owned, how wonderful is it that they can actually – shut it down at 8 p.m. And this isn't because they didn't have business. This place had great reviews. We just didn't check the times. So that's a really good reminder about honoring the culture, honoring the family. I like that there's scarcity in some of these things. We don't get them 24/7. And we don't get to demand that we get them 24/7 because we're on somebody else's dime here. And that's, you know, there's the random backstory to what you stepped into agreeing doing food with me.
Well, it's funny because when we figured out you were going to be coming here again, you know, I'm looking at your requirements and I'm like, oh God, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull this off.
Here we go again.
100% Chris style. But we, you know, I did explain to you some places where we should go and why. And I think you were pretty good at saying, yeah, okay, it makes sense. You know, they're not franchises per se. They may be family owned, but maybe not like with the ethnic component, the, you know, the different type of food component. But I mean, we're cognizant, I guess. I'm cognizant of the checklist. But then the other day on Facebook, someone on this food group is like, hey, anybody try this place here? It's Filipino. It's family. Like literally it's like they had the Clough rubric in front of them. They're like, it's ethnic, it's family owned, and literally like the matriarch of the family's in the back cooking your order. So, I mean, I was like, oh, my God, this is Clough approved. So I tagged you. But like I said, I know that you don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. Your name did pop up, which made me think that you would be notified. But I don't know. But I was like, okay, well, I've never had true Filipino food. And it's new, so it's not going anywhere right now. And so the only thing that we would need to do is check the hours to make sure we were good. But I'm like, okay, that's cool, because I have found, like, I mean, I guess I could troll for, I could go hunting to figure out who's family owned and this and that. But at the same time, some of the food doesn't appeal to me. And that's a thing. Like, if we're truly going to go by your checklist, I might cancel out a bunch of places because I'm just not interested in eating that food. Like when I say Filipino food and I think of it, my mouth starts to water. That's a good sign. That's like, okay, I'm interested. I'm ready to give it a go. But other foods, I don't know if I react the same way. And then it's like, well, part of the food crawl for me has to be that I enjoy what I'm eating, or else I'm not interested in doing the food crawl. It's just, why don't you come to Waterloo? We'll hang out for 3 hours and you can go home. And then it's like, well, is it even worth your time to come and just hang out for 3 hours? I don't know. But like,
of course it is. But I get what you're saying.
You and I, a couple of times, have done just a one restaurant. You've come to Waterloo. We've gone to the Lancaster Smokehouse. You know, killed time there, had great food, and then sat in a Tim Hortons for another 2 hours chatting and just, you know, shooting the breeze and enjoying a warm beverage. So it's like, we can go either way, but it's kind of fun to jump in the car and go from place to place. And like, we're both fully vaxxed, which is awesome. We have a plan. We have some places in mind, so I'm looking forward to it.
Approval from our families?
Yeah, it's family approved.
When you hear the guy plans, when you hear guy plans, that's not often said. But we both had conversations with our family saying, "We're like, are you cool and comfortable with us doing this?" And I think that's where we're at, right? Like,
yeah, that's where we're at. Even when we were looking at the days, I remember saying, okay, I've got this and this open. You're like, oh, I can't do this day because it's happening here. And it was that, even when we're not going to work, there's the, oh, I can't, I've got this happening this night.
Mm-hmm.
what about this day? And you're like, no, I got this happening on this day. It's like, okay. That's even when we don't have to go to work, there's still stuff happening. There's still family obligations.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
That's how it is, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely how it is.
So I'm looking forward to putting that together to filming it, you know, some reviews on the food, some of part of our experience going from one place to another. Where will we dine? You know, will we stay on the restaurant premises and eat outside, or will we just grab our food, get in the car, find a green space and just tailgate? I don't know. I guess time will tell. I know I don't want to give away some of the places we're going to, but I know one of the places is kind of out there. It's in the country. So it's like, you know, I'm sure we could find a nice green space to, or even in the restaurant parking lot. You park in a corner, you back the car in a way that you're not showing off, and we pull out our chairs and we eat our food. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it goes.
I like this is very much a fair weather version of our food crawl, right? It is a fair weather version, which is fine.
Become fair weather. Remember the one time you were here? The one time you were here and we did I think it was raining outside. It was pouring.
That was when we went for bao.
Let's drop the menu. I think people who are familiar with this my area might like this. We did the bao sandwiches.
Yep.
I think we did Morty's wings.
Mm-hmm.
We did Harmony Lunch.
Was that the Jesus?
Do
we get sweet Jesus as well? I think so.
I don't remember if it was that one, but that was, I remember I was ready to explode after that night. It was funny because when I was telling my wife about the one that's coming up, she said, where are you going? And she's like, how are you guys going to eat all that? I said, no, we don't.
Yeah.
We don't eat. Like when one of the places is a sit down restaurant, I said, we will not each order a full meal. We will decide on something. And then usually we split it.
So wait, that's the other thing I realized. We might need to bring a cutting board or this is turning into full-on picnic. So that we're just like, when we're out there, if we need to split it in half or divide it, that we can. So we'll just...
I think, you know what I'm thinking? I think when we order, well, you said you're bringing cutlery. So cutlery's on the table.
Yep.
You're bringing a table. I also have a table. Mine's probably bigger than yours. So we'll have to take a look. I've got chairs in case you don't bring a chair.
Yep.
But I think even when we order, like once we decide what we're ordering, maybe we could say to whoever, hey, can you make sure you split this meal in half?
Yeah.
And they'll look at us funny or whatever. But like I'm thinking the chicken sandwich place, I'm thinking each one of us will have a chicken sandwich. I mean, it's probably going to be more than we need. But if we go to a restaurant and order a few things, we will – I mean, I don't know. This is how we've done it in the past. We order something and we'd split it so that we're not completely full when we're done eating.
Yep.
But we're satisfied. Like we're not starving going to the next place.
I wish I could remember the name of what was that pub we went to? And I ordered the charcuterie board. What was the name of that joint?
Oh.
That was a good board.
That was a really good. Did we share that board or did I get
it? Well, I think because at first you're like, what is that? And I'm like, well, check it out. And it's like if it's done well, it is a really cool hyper local bite.
Oh, it was a hyper local bite.
So it's like it had cheese from Waterloo. It had some salami that they said they got from some deli just down the street. They made their dips in house. The bread is from so-and-so. So you get this kind of like board of bites that it's like walking through the region. Now you can do the same thing just by going to Metro and picking up whatever, but it is cool. But this was a pretty hipster. That joint was a pretty hipster joint.
And you,
if I remember correctly,
you had their beer.
Yeah. I wanted their beer.
I'm
it was fine. An IPA. I was looking for an IPA that, had a really hoppy bite to it, and they had one. He's like, well, then you're going to want to try this. That was a good bite. That was a good stop. And it got real busy. By the time we were walking out talking about, okay, where are we going next? you saw the night crew settling in for just like the hangout and the conversation.
So while we talk, I'm trying to find it here.
That was like 2 years ago, right? Yeah, downtown. No.
And was that okay? So the backstory to that place is that we tried to go to one location of that place near my work. And you remember, it was, they were having a, they were having some kind of,
was there an event?
Private function.
Yeah. That was the other one is right near the Google, I think pretty close to the Google headquarters or whatever in downtown Waterloo.
So I then think. We ended up going uptown.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm looking at Google Maps. It's not even on the map. I can't even tell you what it's called. It's not on the map.
We'll put it in. We'll put it in the after notes.
The podcast. Yeah, notes. Right. And then, so one other thing I wanted to share with you. You're gonna love this. And then I know you're tight on time. You gotta go.
Yep.
So I'm in my coaching, my esports coaching clinic, and the people who own Fair Chance Learning and Fair Chance Gaming, their headquarters is in Newmarket. So they're
Are they? Yes. So they're
talking about their location, which is on Main Street, Newmarket. And then I pipe into the chat and I'm like, are you near the Butter Tart place? And they respond, they're like, yes, we are. So basically we were like, if you guys all come to Newmarket to our headquarters, we'll make sure we've got the Butter Tarts from the Butter Tart place. What's the butter, the Handmaid's Butter Tart?
No, it's not. Oh. It's not that dystopian. It's just the Maid's Cottage.
Yeah. Sorry, Maid's Cottage. The Handmaid's, the Maid's Cottage. So I can't remember the name of the place. And I'm like, I've been there to Main Street, Newmarket. I know what you're talking about. Are you guys near there? And they're like, yes, we are.
It's like an almost famous moment, eh?
And everybody in the chat's probably like, what is this guy's problem, Newmarket and Butter Tarts? And I'm like, well, I didn't get to try them. So yeah. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, when you know, you know. Yeah, there's a couple things definitely that'll be on the list for next year. We tried. Didn't we go and check? And they were closed. We walked down.
Yeah, they were closed.
They keep tight hours. And even more so, you know, last summer, it was the, you know, we were mid figuring out what pandemic hospitality was going to look like. So, well worthwhile to go back. So
do you have a drawing for us today?
I do, kind of. It was a little bit about, I don't know, it's still wet because I was just messing around with some watercolor.
Okay.
But I was thinking about, I think it was something about the twilight that kind of got me thinking. So it's a little bit of a sort of like, I don't know, bit of a night sky with clouds, but I got to iron it out. So often what I'll do is, one of the things about painting on this found paper that I have is that found paper, here's just an artsy thing. Paper that isn't designed for watercolor often gets that really, see how it's curled and wrinkled. Yep. So what I have over here, you're going to love this. Can I share this just quick?
Yeah, it's your time, bro.
So check this. I have these. And I learned this from, you know, so these are high compression clamps. Like I forget what the rating is on them, the actual, like the tensile strength of them. Like I could probably, if I really wanted to get the big arms, I could probably sit here and use these like that, right? But I have about a dozen of these. And what I do with many of my drawings that I want to scan or paintings I want to scan, I have these, and I have different sizes of plywood. So what I do is you put down the base of plywood, and then I have some matting that I can put on here, and then I put the picture face down, and then I spritz it with a little bit of water on the backside. And then I have some matting, as in it's like kind of paper fabric. Put that on top, put the other piece of, you were talking about, I'm mixing stories now. But basically, I sandwich it between, and then I put all these around the outside. Holy crap.
Right.
All around the outside, and I leave it there for 24 hours. So it's like ironing your pictures. And then I take it out after 24 hours, and it's completely flat. Like, it's nice and flat, no bubbles, no curling. So there's a little insider scoop about what Clough does for art. But this one definitely, because it's just crappy cheap paper. Not crappy. Right. It's just recycled paper from a that I don't even know where I found it.
I found the name of the place. It was Abe Herb is the name of the restaurant or the pub. They're a brewing company, and I'm looking at their menu, and I got to tell you, bro, the charcuterie board's not on their menu here.
That's okay.
So we enjoyed that, and it was awesome.
This is the other thing that's really important, and I would add it as another rule, which is seasonality. And that's a really complex, like when you can do a whole inquiry about the negative impacts of seasonality and avoiding seasonality in foods. And I used to go there with my hospitality kids. We used to investigate, basically what does it mean for us to be eating foods that aren't that shouldn't necessarily be available right now, but we create greenhouses and factory farms in order to have that food available. God bless any family who's from a super, super, super hot climate, and they decide to open up a restaurant that they want to have open, 365 days of the year, because there's stuff in the wintertime here that you don't have access to those ingredients. So you're having to ship them in from somewhere. There's something cool about seasonality. So the fact that they no longer, if they don't have that charcuterie board, then it just reinforces our purposefulness in trying it when it was there. Like, I feel like that was good instinct then. That was good instinct that we jumped on that and gave it a try.
And it was great. We were both really hungry. And it was nice to just have a beverage and eat this meat and cheese. Yep. That was good. Good
choice.
Pickles
were awesome. Remember the pickles? The pickles.
I do remember the pickles. Yeah, very good. Very good.
My mouth is watering right now.
And when I told my wife about it, she's talked about, let's go there and get that. Mm-hmm. And now she'll be sad that it's not even on the menu. So
if you ask ahead of time, though, you see, you guys are, it's also one of those, I will tell you, dude, it's cool to make one at home. I bought Karen. She wanted
a board.
She got a board. Yeah. I bought her a board for Christmas. She wanted one. She loves when we go and we get like the meats and the cheeses and just kind of put it out. Like often the kids are eating one thing. The kids are like, yeah, okay. They'll have like a chunk of the bread and maybe some of like the fruit or the cheese. They like it, they appreciate it, but they'll say, can we have this if you're doing your special meal? Like, okay, cool. And we'll just sit and that'll be dinner. Like whatever, the sliced roasted vegetables and some pickles and some cheese and meats and a good crusty loaf. It's a good meal. Takes some planning, but worthwhile, dude.
I believe it. Hey, thanks for another good summer school episode.
Summer school. Just a note to you before this one gets posted up. I can see on the title it says S1E42. Are you able to edit that? Can you put it S4E42? Oh,
I believe I can edit that.
Season and I don't
one. Oh my!
I know, God. Time trial. I look because often I look up before I write it on the corner of the page. Here. I'm like, oh, but that happens. That happens. No biggie. Just if it can't, I just didn't know if that tweaks how it's actually posted when you load it up, when you actually hit it so wherever it gets sent to iTunes or wherever.
Oh, I don't know if it changes. That's not a problem. This is going straight to YouTube. So it's as easy as going to YouTube and changing the title of the video. Cool. When it comes to the other thing, I'm going to fix it right now.
Cool, man.
Have a great day. And I think next week when we talk, we will have had our food extravaganza.
It's going to be good.
Okay. Have a good one.
Ciao.